Kunstraum, der Podcast vom Kunstraum Niederösterreich.
Hi, I'm Friederike Sperling and I warmly welcome you to this new episode of our Im Kunstraum Podcast. What you are about to hear is the lecture performance A Wobbly Federation of Tongues, Hands, Faces and Lungs by Marianne Flaschitz, which took place in late October 2025 as an integral part of the group exhibition On a Tongue's Tip, At a World's Lip, which I had the pleasure to co-curate with Tiasza Pogacar. The show centered around the gap in speech, the hesitation in between words, and featured various artistic articulations of disfluency. In a sense, all of the works were summoning visions of a reality that was not ruled by the neoliberal imperative of flow, immediacy, and efficiency, but instead would be forged in the disfluent rhythms of existence. Marianne Flaschitz is an artist living and working in Vienna. She studied at the Academy of Fine Arts and has exhibited her work at venues including Pech, Leopold Museum, Kunsthalle Wien, Belvedere 21. Marianne has received numerous awards and grants for her work, including the State Scholarship by the Federal Government in Austria in 2024 and a residency at the ISCP in New York in 2025. Thank you so much for joining us for Marianne's lecture performance here. And now, enjoy.
Hello, my name is Marianne Flaschitz. Welcome to my first lecture performance. First of all, let me apologize for not knowing my text by heart and reading from a sheet of paper. Although I'm getting paid a decent fee for this event, it's not that much. But instead of learning the text, I did my hair really nice. Because after all, you took the time to come here and see me perform. The announcement says it's a lecture performance. I'm not even sure what lecture performance means. I found an article saying that it's some kind of talk, that it's educational and performative. So it's a show, hence the curse. Tonight I will talk to you about stuttering. Stuttering is a speech disorder characterized by interruptions in the flow of speech. I stutter myself in case you haven't noticed yet. The cause for stuttering is not yet fully understood, but it's a neurological issue. Did you know that people who stutter almost always stutter on their own name? This is why we hate introduction rounds so much. Much more than you do. Because of course we know that this will happen again. And the more you try to avoid it, the harder it will be. And the first thing, people you have never met will notice about you is a weakness, a defect, a glitch. What do you think are the most common reactions I get when I stutter on my own name? Besides politely ignoring it. Number one is people laughing, but it's usually not a malicious laugh, but a nervous surprised one. I don't really mind this kind of laughter. I think it's more of a physical reaction than a deliberate one. Reaction to something unexpected, like slipping on a banana, or accidental farting. Number two is people asking me jokingly if I forgot my own name. This really pisses me off, because who would ever forget their own name? This funny joke feels like a slap in the face. And sometimes I enjoy to slap back. I say no, not really. I just have a stutter. And so the shame is transferred to the other person as fast as a lightning strike. Because of course I will play my disability card if you give me the chance. Usually people are mortified, and I love this little moments of petty revenge, because sometimes it's nice to be a little asshole. When I was asked to do this lecture, my first impulse was to talk about the positive aspects of stuttering. This comes from a lifetime of being told that I have to make my stutter disappear, to overcome it, like it's a burden or a disease. It took me a lifetime to let go of that idea, to finally embrace the way I speak or do not speak. To accept that this is what I sound like. Because despite of what you might have heard, one cannot overcome a stutter. One can only hide it very well so that other people don't notice. Which of course comes with a high price. Masking takes away a lot of focus from what you are saying to how you are saying it. Some people did this quite my stuttering as something that is common for thing to them. Because naturally I talk slower than someone who speaks fluently. They think about what my stuttering is doing for them. They see it from their perspective. I appreciate that, and I'm happy that my stutter is able to accommodate people. But what if sometimes I don't want my stutter to be a comfort, to make space and time for other people's thinking, to make them feel relaxed and safe. Maybe sometimes I would like my stutter to be an annoyance, a disturbance, traveling through speech and language, like a freak wave through a calm sea. Maybe sometimes I want my stutter to be violent, to be a fart rather than a dream. Comparing stuttering to farting makes sense in this context. Because there's a lot of taboo around speech disorders, but also around assholes. Do you know this feeling when you are like gassy and bloated all day and you cannot wait to get home and take off your pants and finally fart in peace? Yes, yeah, it feels amazing, right? This is exactly what it's like if you finally allow yourself to stutter. When I allow myself to stutter, and I manage to let go of this fear of failure and the fear of voids, it feels really good. When I stutter without any fear, I do beautiful, smooth repetitions, like little circular movements, like locks or ornaments. It feels like painting little ringlets, drawing circles with your brush. As a painter, I like to think about my stutter as some kind of special brush. One that gives texture to my speech. I think I became a painter because I was looking for a job where I don't have to speak at all. As a teenager, I even fantasized about being mute because it would free me from the burden of speaking, of going to speech therapy, of having cramps in my jaw, my belly, and my legs, because I tried so hard to suppress the stutter. I was longing for the right to remain silent. A stutter is not only made of speech, at least half of it is made of silence, of blocks, of the absence of sounds, and words. And what is painting if not a manifestation of different flavors of silence? Let me read you a quote from the book Chromophobia by David Batchelor. The silence that color may provoke is a mark of its power and autonomy. Silence is how we have to voice our respect for that which moves us beyond language. Whereof we cannot speak, thereof we must remain silent, said Wittgenstein, who also saw in color the outer limits of language. Silence is spoken by the body through our gestures and postures. The body is one of the means by which we express ourselves when we run out of words. Color is thus connected to the body in at least two ways. It is applied to the body as makeup, and it's allied with the body in its resistance to verbalization. And end of quote. As a painter, I have to agree to this. I don't paint what I can't say. I paint the gaps between words, the silence of the stutter block, the right to finally shut up. And by the way, being in Vienna, what does Freud has to say about the act of making art. Here is a quote from Charakter und Analerotik. The first offering the child brings to its caregiver is its feces. It is at once its first creation, its first gift. This pleasure in giving can later reappear in sublimated form in the activity of the artist. End of quote. I like this image of my paintings or even this lecture here. Being little turds that I show proudly to the world, like I might have showed poo to my mother as a toddler. And coming back to my beloved farting analogy, the act of stuttering can be seen as silence escaping by accident from the mouth while speaking. As I said before, sometimes I enjoy being a little asshole. I'm telling you all of this not because I'm suggesting that we all should start farting in public. I'm telling you this because I often ask myself why we all do feel the need to apologize for the way we speak, for our accents, our dialects, our wrong pronunciations, our imperfect vocabulary, our utterances, our pitch, or for not being able to read a text from memory. It seems like we all long for being perfect talking machines, like the people on TV. Because we equate talking with thinking. And it's a shame and it's the same in writing. Out of fear of showing our limitations with all its grammar and spelling mistakes, our little weirdly constructed sentences and words, we let a software do the job, so that no one will ever know how alive and feeble we are. By the way, I did not let ChatGPT check this writing, because I refuse to hide the way I speak and think. to bow to the machine and let my language be stripped of all that is unique. The scholar Joshua Saint-Pierre writes in his book Cheap Talk, fluency is thus not simply the demand for intelligibility and understanding produced on the social stage. It is machinic, an imperative to communicate as the machine, to maximize our communicative inputs and outputs, to optimize our connectivity. End of quote. Imperfections are usually only allowed when they are intended, highly stylized and in a designated environment, like an art show, of course. For example, this summer I watched a performer reading her poems. She was repeating single words, an artificial stutter. I could tell that she was not really stuttering because she was in perfect control of her speech and of her body. She used the repetition as an aesthetic element. It made me wonder if she would apologize for stuttering off stage. And who is actually allowed to stutter and why? Take this situation here for example. You could say that I'm being paid for stuttering, which is amazing, by the way, because in the past it was always me or my parents who had to pay for making the stutter disappear. And because I have no control about how much I stutter on a given day, I was even afraid that I will not stutter enough. That you will not believe me that I'm actually disabled, that I'm faking it. Sometimes people like to tell me that I don't stutter, that they do stutter as well sometimes. They mean to comfort me, but it's not comforting. Quite the opposite. It eradicates a lifetime of shame and pain, of going to countless therapists and doctors. By the way, did you know that the Nazis killed children who stuttered? Right here in Vienna, they let them freeze to death. But this is getting too heavy now. You did not come tonight to learn about the atrocities that happened 8 years ago. you came for something light, like a thought. Let me quote another passage from Joshua St. Pierre's book, Cheap Talk. To stutter widely, to stutter as a poetic, to create a vacuum of non-communication, to fling one's shit and exit language, is thus not an escape from the world. Becoming imperceptible is a rejection, yes, of the universal ideals and projects staged by neoliberalism, but positively, it is an invitation to cultivate new existential territories and refrains in monarchies. Another possible life, and end of quote. So the next time you have the impulse to apologize for your speech, your wording, or your lack of perfection, ask yourself if maybe right now is a good time to let your little butthole relax. Thank you.